If you want to turn in your Bibles a while to Matthew 26, we're going to start at verse 36 in just a moment here. And, you know, sometimes when I share a message on a Sunday morning, I really believe sometimes that God wants to do business that morning, and that the word that I share is like a now word, and He wants to impart something, He wants to do something now. Now, I believe that applies to this message I want to share this morning, but more than that, I believe that this is a word that God is going to be faithful to bring to your mind down the road as well. So He's going to do something now, this morning, I believe. But I believe this is something He's going to be faithful to continue to bring back to you. And there will continue to be an opportunity for us to respond to Him. Does that make sense? It'll be clear when we get to it in a little bit. So, are we on? I think we are. I see myself. Good morning, Facebook Live. Great to have you with us. Sunday, October 10th, here at Christian Life Community Church in Newville. Just give a quick plug. If you don't have a church of your own, we'd love to invite you out to visit us. Our Sunday morning gatherings start at 10 o'clock. And for more information, go to our website at christianlifecommunitychurch.net. Great to have you with us this morning. Again, we're talking about surrender this morning. And are y'all there? Matthew 26, right? We're going to start there, and we're going to read this very pivotal passage of Scripture. Folks talk about the importance of Jesus going to the cross, and He died, and He resurrected, and He ascended to heaven, and He's at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. And the importance of all that, that is vitally important, all of that. But this is where the victory was won, so that all of that other stuff could happen. This is in the Garden of Gethsemane. So we're in Matthew 26, we'll start in verse 36. Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and He began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then He said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with Me." Verse 39, He went a little farther and fell on His face and prayed, saying, "Oh, My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will." He came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What, could you not watch with Me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, verse 42, a second time He went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, My Father, if this cup cannot pass away from Me unless I drink it, Your will be done." And then He came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So He left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. So three times Jesus prays. Now again, this is before He's going to be crucified on a cross and take upon Him the sins of the world. So a couple of questions to consider. Was it Jesus' preference to go to the cross? Was it His preference? If we look at that first prayer that He prayed, "If it is possible, oh My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from Me." Is it His preference to go to the cross? No, not at all. Because He's saying, if it's possible, let this cup pass from Me. It's not His preference to do it. Was this a difficult thing that Father God was asking Jesus to do? Absolutely. Absolutely. After living a sinless life, after seeing miracles, signs, wonders, healings, literally people raised from the dead after having lived that life, and now He's going to go to a cross and take upon Him the sins of the world. That was a very difficult thing that Father God had asked His Son to do. Jesus' surrender to the Father, did it ultimately bring defeat or did it ultimately bring victory? Victory. Victory. Yeah. Jesus, although it wasn't his preference to go to the cross, although Father God was asking Jesus a very difficult thing to do, Jesus' response was, nevertheless, not my will, but your will. And he was effectively saying, I surrender to you, Father God. I surrender my preferences to your preference. Although this is a very difficult thing that you're asking me to do, I surrender my will to your will. I surrender. And it was his surrender that ultimately brought victory. Right? You know, when we say that word surrender, a lot of times, maybe it's just me, I don't know. A lot of times it conjures up this image like from a war movie or from an Old West movie, right? Where there's two people and one person is the aggressor and he's got a gun, right? Are you with me? Is this kind of, and the other person, he either doesn't have a gun or he couldn't get to his gun quick enough. And so now he's, I surrender, you got me, I give up. And there's this, like, attitude of defeat with the second person. Like, oh, you got me. Oh, you got me, I surrender. You're stronger than me, you're quicker on the draw than me, you're whatever. You win, I lose. You have victory, I have defeat, I surrender. And that's not the type of surrender that I feel like the Lord wants to convey this morning. The type of surrender that I think He has in mind is more like this. Can you picture a child in the foster care system? And they have bounced around from home to home. And they've been in many homes by now. They're still a young child, but they've been in umpteen homes by now. And they've all been with parents, with foster care parents that are indifferent at best. Some are mean and nasty. Some are just downright abusive. And that's the upbringing that this young child has had until they are placed in a home where there's actually loving parents that are crazy about this young child. But because of the child's past, she has definite walls up, right? And these loving parents, they want to love this child because they literally love her and they care about her and they have her best interest in mind. But because of her past, she has walls up and their love isn't able to penetrate her defense mechanism, right? And it's understandable why she would have that. But as these loving parents are consistent to love this girl, as they prove themselves to this girl time and time again, over maybe a period of months, maybe even years, the young girl begins to see, oh, I can trust these people. And what would happen if the young foster child was willing to surrender to their love? She had walls up before. She was anything but surrendered to their love. But over time, she saw their consistency. She saw that they're the real deal. They really do love me. They really do care about me. What would happen if she would surrender to their love? That's the type of surrender that God is inviting us to this morning. It's not, he got the draw on us. Okay, God, you win, I lose. No. It's the loving parents. He wants to lavish His love on us. And for whatever reason, maybe we've been unwilling to or unable to receive that. And He wants us to surrender to Him this morning. Isn't that good? What would happen to that foster child if she surrendered to her loving parents' love? What's that? Victory? Yeah, her surrender. That's right, Tanya. Her surrender would result in victory. The same way that Jesus' surrender in the garden resulted in victory for us. See, surrender doesn't, in the context of what we're talking about this morning, surrender doesn't result in defeat. It's not the Old West movie. Oh, you got the draw on me. I surrender. I'm defeated. It's not that at all. It's the foster child who says, I surrender to your love. And how would that change her? She would have victory. Would that change her self-esteem? Would that change the way she's able to relate to others? Yeah. Would she be able to love others better because she's able to receive love from her parents? Yeah. Would that change just about everything in her life? Would it change her destiny? Would it change the potential she's able to realize? It changes a whole lot of stuff. Tanya, you hit the nail on the head. Her surrender would result in victory for her. You understand what I'm talking about? Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Well, can I just say, it's a beautiful thing to see how you've surrendered to the Lord over these past several years and to see the transformation that has happened in your life. Yeah, it's been amazing. Yeah, I know, I know. As you've been willing to surrender, Tanya. Yeah. Yep. Boy, I could go off now for about a half an hour of the way that God has used this woman to affect her family's life in such a positive way. And it has happened as she has surrendered. So that's the type of surrender that we're talking about. Let me just pull out a couple of verses here. And if you want to turn in your Bibles, that's fine. I'm going to look at Romans 6:13. When I was preparing for this sermon, I went to my concordance, and in the one that I was using, the word surrender wasn't actually in there, but there are a couple of words that are very close or that convey the message of surrender, and one of them is the word yield. And that word in Romans 6:13 is used a couple of times. In there, Paul writes, "Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." And that word yield, which again is close to the word surrender that we're talking about this morning, in the Greek, it's peristemi. It means to exhibit, to manifest, or deliberately display. It also means to proffer. In other words, to hold out something to someone for acceptance. Maybe you've heard the phrase, he proffered his resignation. He offered his resignation. And it was up to the powers that be whether they would accept his resignation or not. That's yield. That's surrender. That's what Jesus did in the garden. It wasn't his preference. It was a difficult thing. But he yielded. He surrendered to the Father's will. And in doing so, in yielding to the Father, it resulted in victory. In James 4, verses 6 and 7, it says, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore submit," that's the word we're going to look at, "therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." So in those couple of verses, submit is the word that's very closely related to the word surrender that we're looking at this morning. And so again, we'll just, in the Greek, that word is hupereiphanos, and forgive my pronunciation, you Greek scholars, if I'm butchering that. But it means, that's the Greek word for proud. I'm sorry, I'm jumping the gun here. That's the Greek word for proud, which means appearing above others, okay? Proud. Appearing above others, haughty, arrogantly superior, and disdainful. Have you ever been around somebody who's been haughty or prideful? Do you like being around them? Yeah, it actually says God resists the proud. he resists the person who has his position here and God's position here. It's the sin of Lucifer. If you recall the story of when Lucifer fell, right? He said, I will make myself to be like God. I will lift myself up. He was haughty. He was prideful. And God's reaction to that is, he resists the pride, the prideful. But he gives grace to the humble, right? Now, humble isn't, oh, I'm just this lowly scumball and I don't deserve anything and, you know, just railing on myself, blah, 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 blah. No, I'm created in God's image, right? I'm his son. We're sons and daughters of the Most High. So, at some level, we may say things along those lines which to someone may seem like a prideful thing. There's kind of a tricky line to walk, I think, sometimes between understanding who we are in Christ, but not getting into pride. Now, it might be hard for me to explain it, but if you're around somebody, you know it. Does that make sense? If you're around somebody that's walking in pride, a lot of times we recognize it like that. So we're not talking about being prideful. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, so as a result of that, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So God wants us to resist the devil. And isn't it interesting, that same word he uses previously, how he resists the proud. The way that he wants us to resist the devil, he will actually resist us if we're walking in pride. If we have this haughty spirit that puts us up here and God down here someplace, right? He wants us to walk in humility. As a result, he offers grace. Therefore, submit yourselves to God. Okay, now the Greek word for submit is hupadasso, and it means to be under obedience, to put under. See, pride is, I put myself up here and God here. But to submit means I put myself under God. Different position, right? Submit to God. Put under, subdue under, subject, be in subjection. I put myself in subjection to God. I surrender to God. I surrender my preferences. I surrender what I think I'm possible, what I'm capable of doing and what I'm not capable of doing. I submit that. I surrender that to God. Is this making sense? Yeah? You getting anything out of this? Good. Good, good, good. So the word is surrender. And as we go to wrap up, I just want us to consider, what are the things that God is asking us to surrender to him this morning? And I haven't really come with a lot of, like, I feel like the Lord's putting his finger on this, this, and this. But I really believe that he will be faithful to speak to hearts this morning, but also in the days, weeks, and months, and perhaps years to come, he will be faithful to come to us and say, I'd like you to surrender this to me. Okay? And it's a good thing. Remember, surrendering to God anyway, results in victory. Even when it's not our preference, even when it's a difficult thing, as we surrender, that surrender doesn't result in defeat. It results in victory. Now, I know personally, you know, something that I needed to surrender to throughout my walk with the Lord was this idea that somewhere along the line, I kind of picked up what I call this orphan mentality. And an orphan has this mentality that if I don't do it for myself, nobody else is going to provide for me. Nobody else is going to do it for me. So I got to do it myself or it's not going to get done. And I just picked up that line of thinking along the way. And the Lord began to deal with me on that. And he began to remind me, Kurt, you're my son. And I'll provide for you as a good father. And so that was an opportunity for me to surrender to his truth that he was sharing with me. Right? And it was absolutely a choice for me. I could say, no, God, I'm good. I'll just go along the way I've been going. I've been making it. I'll provide for myself. I'll do it all my own. It was my choice to either do that, you know, like the orphan child who has the walls up and can't receive from her loving parents. I had the choice to do that. And I, truth be told, I probably did do that for a season. But finally, it got through to me that He's a loving Heavenly Father. And He's my Father. And if He says He's going to provide for me, then I surrender to that truth. I surrender to that reality. And I was like the foster child who surrendered to her parents' love. And I surrendered to that truth. And that was a huge thing for me. That made a big difference in my life. So maybe that's one of the things that the Lord is asking you to surrender to. Maybe He's asking you to surrender to being open to sharing your faith with others or being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, maybe there's some apprehension at some level. Well, those people are crazy, you know, when they're filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, I've seen them before. I don't want to do that. I don't want to speak in that crazy language. I don't want to be on the floor laughing or whatever it is. Maybe the Lord's challenging you to surrender to being filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe He's challenging you to surrender to love one another as Jesus loved you. Even someone who doesn't believe the same things that you do. Maybe He's challenging you to surrender to love that person who has a different perspective than what you do. And maybe He wants to surrender, as I said earlier, to the reality that you're a son or daughter of the Most High. Just a few things that came to mind. What He speaks to you might be something entirely different. But again, I just want to remind us, even if it's not our preference, even if it's a difficult thing, as we surrender to Him, it will result in victory and not in defeat. Amen? Whoop, whoop. So if you would stand with me, we're going to close in prayer. And just really appreciate y'all coming out this morning. It's good to be with the familia, the family of God. So let's bow our heads. So, Father, we thank You for those areas that You are asking us to surrender to You in this morning. And we thank You in the days, weeks, months, and years to come for those areas that You'll come to us and again ask us to surrender to. And Lord, help us to realize that as we surrender, it results in victory, regardless if it's our preference or even if it's a very difficult, maybe even seemingly impossible thing to do. You're able. And so, Lord, as the best we can, we surrender to You this morning. This church, collectively, we surrender to You. We surrender to what You want to accomplish through us. We surrender to relationships that You want us to build in the community, even with people that don't think like us. Thank You for a grace to connect with people. Thank You for a grace for connection. So we surrender to You, realizing that this will result in victory. And we thank You for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.